waiting for you and the power you possess.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is October 20th, 2017, and I am your skeptical host, Bat Dog. Okay, I can't do that voice for the whole podcast, but it is a thrill not to have a guest skeptic, which I usually have, but to have a superhero of science with us tonight, and that is Dr. Jennifer Gunter. Jennifer, welcome to the SGM.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, we had to have you here because you are coming back for homecoming. You are purple and proud.
Exactly. Western colors.
Now, she's also known as Wonder Woman. And the reason she's known as Wonder Woman is, oh, we'll have you explain that later. All right. So what we're going to do tonight is, this is different than our usual podcast. Normally, we go through a structured critical review, trying to cut that KT window down from over 10 years to less than 1 year using the power of social media. But this time, we're breaking from tradition. Now, people already know the basic facts about you, right? You are a doctor. But let's move on from there. You're also Canadian, eh?
Right. I'm from Winnipeg.
Woo! Winterpeg! All right. So you're
Prairie
from Winnipeg.
Girls, yeah.
But then you traveled east as opposed to traveling west and did your training here in London, Ontario.
Yeah, I did my residency here. I did my medical school at the University of Manitoba. Go Bisons. And then
go
I did...
Go buy some? Is that
Bisons.
What you said? Oh, go Bisons. Sorry, Bisons. It's that American accent that she has now. Right. I thought she said go buy some, you know, buy American. No.
Right. No. And then I came to London and I did my residency here. So I spent 5 years here from 90 to 95.
And then from there, you went south.
I went to the University of Kansas and I did a fellowship in infectious diseases.
And after your infectious fellowship?
I stayed on at the University of Kansas for about 6 years, and then I moved west to Colorado, where I was there for about 5 years at the University of Colorado, and then I moved further west out to California.
And you can't go any farther, can you?
Hawaii.
Okay. If there's anybody watching from Hawaii, she might be interested. All right, so now what we're going to talk about is, I stumbled across your blog, and this is how we got to know each other. I stumbled across your blog, and I went, wow, this is really good. I need to have a gynecologist come on the SGM and maybe talk about some papers that are published that would deal with us in the emergency department. So I reached out and I tried to use my father because he was your program director at the
That's
time.
Right.
Or the chair or the program director? I don't know. Sofa?
He was the chair. Yes.
Let's call him the chair. Okay, so he was the chair. So I tried to say, it's Dr. Milne, you know, the other Dr. Milne. And that got me at least a response. And from there, I've been trying to get her on the show since. And so when you got invited back to homecoming for your
10th? Know what it is for me, 95th. Yeah. From 95.
Yeah. We can do math. They told me there'd be no math. And so you got invited back and you reached out to me and said, hey, Ken, you want to do that podcast you've been bugging me about? And I went, oh, hell no, let's have a party. And so we invited a whole bunch of people up to the Bat Cave, right? There are people behind the camera. Can we at least get confirmation of that? Yes, there are people behind the Bat Cave. And I said, let's have an event. Let's have a fun event. Let's have a tweet up and try this Facebook Live setup. I love it. I love that you agreed to do this. And I put her on the spot. She came in dressed really nice, had a whole ensemble, and I brought a lab coat. But it's a sparkly lab coat for her. Now, I love the fact that you use Wonder Woman and that you wield the lasso of truth. But what got you into writing a blog about women's health?
Well, it's a little bit of a story. So everybody...
It's just you and me.
All right. Well, so the long and the short of it is, for people who know me, who follow me on social media, you know that I have two sons. But I actually was pregnant with triplets. And one of my sons died at birth. I had a really extreme premature delivery, and my children were really ill, and they were in the intensive care unit for a really long time. And one of my sons has cerebral palsy, and my other son had a really serious congenital cardiac defect. And you think it's really bad when your kid is 783 grams and they say your child needs emergency cardiac surgery, and then they tell you, you don't think there's a worse thing that you can hear, and then they say, but they don't make equipment that small. So I, like every other patient out there or mother, turned to the internet and I started looking at stuff. And I realized that there was so much bad information down there. And one night I fell down the rabbit hole of stem cells for cerebral palsy, which is totally false and fake and snake oil. Mm-hmm. But I thought, if I could fall down that hole, then what chance did other people have? And so after my kids, you know, got healthier and in a better situation, I thought, you know, maybe I should do my bit to try to clean up my corner of the internet. And so that's how I got into blogging.
So you've been cleaning up the internet. Big job, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that one. There's a cartoon about, you know, somebody saying, come to bed, honey. And it's like, no, somebody's wrong on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that one. So yeah, you've got a full-time job and you've got job security there. But you've blogged about a lot of things. But one of the things that you blogged about this summer was stuff that it was sort of, I don't know, how would I describe it? Gobbledygook?
Well,
gobbly
yes.
Goop. Sorry, you guys got that? Oh, good. This is all I got. Two shows on Thursday. Try the veal. So the Goop blog that you wrote was about, that's a lifestyle sort of site for Gwyneth Paltrow. And there was some recommendation about vaginal steaming. And then you wrote a blog post about that?
Yeah. Well, actually, it is hard to keep the Goop posts straight because they're all quite nonsensical. The vaginal steaming was actually 2016.
Okay.
This 2017 was the vaginal jade eggs.
It is hard to stay up with all
it's
the things
hard
that are
to stay up with
vaginal
it.
Health
well,
stuff.
Well, and
yeah.
Especially because, you know, they don't use the terms correctly. So it's not only pseudoscience, but it's actually really medically incorrect in a lot of ways. In fact, every way, it's sort of pin the tail on the donkey, medically incorrect. So I wrote a post on the vaginal jade eggs and that went really viral. And then it just kind of went from there. And I write a lot about really serious stuff. You know, I write about, you know, the impact of not getting vaccinated. I write about reproductive health, which for those of you in the United States is a huge issue because there's a lot of fake news about information about abortion.
No politics tonight. No fake news, okay?
No politics. I'm not
getting
politics.
We're in Canada,
all
okay?
Right.
No politics.
But so, you know, you can't just write about the heavy stuff all the time. So that's kind of, you know, why I kind of got into the, you know, writing the lighter stuff too, because I always feel if people come for those posts, then maybe they'll also learn some evidence-based stuff too. But also people should learn the right stuff about their vaginas.
Yes, we have some eager people that are interested in knowing the right stuff about their vaginas tonight. So one of the things, though, that I found really interesting was, you know, you put out this blog, and lots of people have criticized Gwyneth Paltrow
right.
and the Goop suggestions. You're not the first critic, right? There are many critics. And one of the critics, if somebody could hand me that book over there, that's on the mantle. So there's another critic, and he wrote a whole book about
right.
it. Not just a blog post.
I know.
But a whole book. Thank you. And it's called, Is Gwyneth Paltrow Wrong About Everything? When Celebrity Cultures and Science Clash. And it's by Timothy Caulfield. And he's a lawyer, a professor out in Edmonton. He wrote this book. Did he ever get tweeted at by Gwyneth Paltrow?
No.
Did he ever get like a letter written to him? Did he ever?
No.
Nothing, right? But something happened when you wrote a blog post. What happened? I mean, he heard nothing, right?
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
What did you hear?
Well, you know, I got, you know, I got a talking to. But it was like a really bad talking to. Like I was thinking, boy, you were standing around the water cooler, and this was the best you could come up with.
Oh, was this the response to your jade egg
yeah,
sort of stuff?
Yeah. Well,
so let's go back to 2016 to make sure we're not getting off topic, though, because I really liked what you said about the vaginal steaming. Something about it's a.
Oh.
You don't need it, but it's a self-cleaning.
Oh, yeah. Your vagina is a self-cleaning oven. Just leave it alone.
Okay, there we go.
It knows
go.
That's what it's doing.
I just wanted to get that quote in on record from Jen.
Yeah.
But then it was the jade egg thing. And with the jade egg thing, I thought it was really interesting. Tim didn't get any like negative feedback
right.
as far as I know. But I thought I saw some tweets come across. And Gwyneth, I believe, said, when they go low, we go high.
Yeah.
And quoted Michelle Obama. And maybe this is just me like having a false memory, but I thought you tweeted back, I could be wrong. Oh yeah, I always go low. I'm a gynecologist.
No,
oh.
no, I wouldn't have said that. I would have taken the high road and said something. I don't know what I said. Probably people can bring it up on Twitter, but yeah, no, I just said I just stuck with the science of it. Yeah,
yeah,
and I don't think that was at all what the quote was about. So many people pointed that out that was a really probably not using that quote correctly.
Yeah,
the Michelle Obama quote.
Yeah, yeah,
but yeah, no, I think it was really interesting that you know there are many people who write about the pseudoscience at Goop. You know, many websites do, many news organizations cover it. Tim wrote a whole wonderful book, you know, with her name in the title. And I think it, you know, they thought that I was an easy target.
Is that what it was?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Obviously I wasn't, but because when you have facts behind you, you're not an easy target.
No. And so she challenged people to bring their F and A game.
Right.
And, you know, being from Canada, you brought your A game.
I just brought a game you know, to knock down that pseudoscience would really just take a game like Clue or something.
All right, and so she had after you wrote your A game with the science as your weapon, your Wonder Woman weapon of choice, you wrote that, and she had some of her medical experts respond to that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, she had a couple of experts. I guess I'll use that in quotation marks, because if you're not a gynecologist, you're not an expert in the lower genital tract. So, you know, an internal medicine doctor and a cardiologist who sells, supplements were the experts. The one who says that lectins in plants are causing obesity. And anyway, so they, you know, they were, you know, very insulting and, you know, or mostly the cardiologist.
It was a lot of ad hominem attacks. They didn't go after science. They went after you.
Yeah. Well, that's what people do when they don't have an argument, right?
Hmm. And then people, though, jumped to your defense. I felt that there was a real Twitter response behind you. And it wasn't just a Twitter response. It wasn't just social media. You got picked up by the New York Times.
Yeah. I really felt very, you know, very... very loved by a lot of people. And I, you know, it's funny, you spend a lot of time online and you don't really know anybody personally, but you develop these vested relationships, which I guess is really what social media is, right? You can still be very social with people, just not face to face. And so, yeah, I mean, all these science reporters jumped to my defense, lots of physicians like yourself and many other people. And Tim wrote a great op-ed in the Globe and Mail. And so it was really heartening to see that, you know, people are like, hey, you have to stand up for science. And boy, it's really interesting to have a celebrity choose the person who she thought might be least able to respond.
But
right?
You've got this as your weapon, right? And science, right? But you've got this, right? And so you know the science. You're an expert in the field. And you did a fellowship in infectious disease?
Right. I did a fellowship in infectious diseases. So I think that I am probably the most qualified person to comment on the infectious disease implications of, you know, regimens. Jade egg in the vagina.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It doesn't... Common sense works, too.
Because this is going out as a general thing on Facebook Live... do you feel comfortable making a recommendation about whether or not you should or should not put a jade egg in your vagina?
Yeah, I none of this is direct medical advice. I'm not anybody's physician, but along with don't smoke, get your flu vaccine, don't put a jade egg in your vagina.
There we go. And a friend of mine actually has a great line when it comes to, you know, doing social media and being a physician and being out in the public. He says, yes, I'm a doctor, but I'm not your doctor.
Right.
And so if you have questions, obviously, see your doctor about your problems.
Absolutely.
While we are both doctors, we're not actually giving out advice specifically to any individual.
Right. That's actually a real big reason why I blog, because what I hope is to raise the level of sort of medical information online so then people can take that information to their doctor. I mean, the greatest thing I hear, I get young women sending me messages all the time about how they've used a post I wrote on IUDs to talk to doctors have said, well, you can't have an IUD because you've never been pregnant. And that's something that hasn't been an issue for like over 10 years. If you read anything in OBGYN literature, you know that a woman who's never been pregnant can have an IUD. Unfortunately, 30% of OBGYNs don't know that yet. And so these young women will say, I took your blog post and I said, well, this doctor said I could, so why are you saying that I can't? And it's great. And they were empowered to take information and advocate for themselves.
You've given them agency.
Yes,
and control
absolutely.
Over their own healthcare. And I think that's wonderful. But you mentioned, you know, these young women would reach out to you through social media. You came to the party tonight, and I made the observation that we have a lot of, and I'm not going to say mature women, we have like professional women, smart women. I invited these people in particular because I really hold them in high regard. And what did they want? Can I get a selfie? With you. right? So it's not just young women that think you're awesome. Aww. There's a whole bunch of other women out there and men who think you are just a superhero of science.
Aww. Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm just, I mean, like everybody else, I'm just tired of the BS. And I just, you know, people always say to me, could you be any more blunt? I've always been like this. Maybe that's what girls from Winnipeg are like. you know, it's minus 40. You don't have time.
It's too cold. It's too cold. You just get to the point.
Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that people are really, really tired of misinformation. And I think that if I have some kind of voice where I can battle that, then I'm going to use that voice.
Well, I'm going to use my voice to speak for a group of women that I know. They're called FEMINEM, Females in Emergency Medicine. And I promised them that I would ask you this question.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So this is out to all the FEMINEMers out there. There was a recent post on Kevin MD that said women, in particular, well, specifically women, to get better patient satisfaction scores, would wear glasses and wear their hair in a bun. And I went, really? I mean, I'm familiar with that. Oh, I've got to wear a lab coat. Have you ever been referred to as a nurse?
I probably have been when I was in residency, but I don't think that was be any relation to how I was dressed or how my hair was or where my glasses were. I think it was simply because I'm female, which, you know, obviously there are stereotypes and we're trying to break all those down, but it was nothing to do with how I was dressed.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I questioned that. I actually posted it to their group and said, has anybody experienced this? Are women doing this to get better patient satisfaction scores by putting on glasses, fake glasses, and wearing their hair up in a bun? And so there's been a fair mixed response, so I thought I'd go to the expert, you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I can only speak for myself, but I just think that would be sad that if that people are feeling that they have to do that. And if it's true, then I think it's something that we should look into. But
it speaks to society, though, yeah. Doesn't it? That those are perceptions and that people feel that they need to do that to overcome some stereotypes or some barriers when it should be... You're the doctor.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's not you're a woman doctor, you're a doctor.
Yeah, no, I think that's why it's really important. And many people, when you're online or writing, they really do try to sexually decredentialize women. They'll call you that lady. That happens all the time. A lot of conservative people, when I write about, you know, abortion or other issues, they will, you know, they'll call me, they'll send these people from, you know, Breitbart News or the Drudge Report or whatever, these places I don't even really know because I don't frequent that corner of the internet. And they'll call me that lady as if that's some kind of insult. And they'll call the men... Doctor, and they'll call me that lady. And that happens. That's even happened in articles where, you know, I have, and it speaks to, you know, they did a study where they looked at how women were introduced at Grand Rounds, and women were much more likely to be introduced by their first name, and men were more likely to be introduced as doctor. So I just don't have any point in correcting people and calling it out. And if people do it, I say they're, you know, they're sexually decredentializing me, and they go, oh, that's not a real word. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to give you a thesaurus too on top of it.
We can't explain. Like I said, you've got job security.
Yeah.
What's next for your doctor? And I did introduce you as a doctor.
You did. It's all right. It's all cool. We're friends.
Well, you know. So what's next for you? I mean, after your whirlwind media tour and stopping by the Bat Cave to do this.
Well, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I think that part of the reason I just blog for me. I really do. I mean, I hope that it helps everybody else, and I really hope that, but I have things that I want to get off my chest. And so I really actually do it for me. Every time I write about something, it's because it's something I was interested in or something I learned about, and I want to spread that information. So I'm going to keep doing it because it's my hobby and I really like it. My kids are like, well, but it's kind of your work because you do it all the time. I'm like, yeah, but I don't get paid for it. So I think that's when you call it a hobby. But hopefully, I'm hoping to have a book come out about vaginal health. So that's working with somebody right now for that.
Will you come back for the book
tour? Sure, absolutely. I will come back for the book tour, you bet. And it'll be, you know, basically all the information that, you know, that people need to have that for some reason we can't get out to people. And I always say, you know, it's really interesting. We're in this age of information, but it's really moved through that to this age of misinformation, which is why it's really important to have podcasts like yours and you know, all this kind of outreach, because we can reach people in so many different ways. Some people want to read a podcast. Some people want to listen to a podcast. Some people want to read a blog. Some people want to read about it on Facebook, and that's okay. They're all really great different ways to learn. And so I think that we as physicians have to really step up and say, how can we get that information out to the public?
So what does the audience think? Our studio audience. Do you think Jen should keep doing what she's doing? Yes.
You're all very nice. Thank you.
I'm pandering.
It's all right.
So now comes the point in the show where I said that anybody in the audience can grab the blue microphone that's sitting right there and ask Jen a question. And I know that the Reality Check podcast wants to ask something because you came in and said you were a big fan and had been talking about Jen on the show quite often. So if you grab the blue microphone, we'll be able to capture it.
With her face on it, and that would be my superhero shirt.
And then you'd be Wonder Jen.
So if you can indulge me for a second,
sure.
We do talk about you a lot on the Reality Check podcast, and the listeners know how much I adore you, and I love
you.
Your blog is just incredible. And I like to take the, can we swear on this podcast at all?
I don't know what will happen with the Facebook Live, but yes, I have editing. You know,
I like to take the piss out of Gwyneth Paltrow myself, and of course, you are my role model. So I just wanted to read you something that I read, and I just wanted to corroborate it because we are a fact-based podcast, and I'm quoting you, and I just want to make sure that you said this. So it was based on the fact that Gwyneth, I mean, as you know, Truth in Advertising has just called out Gwyneth, which is incredible, and I wanted to ask you your thoughts on that in a second, but... So she was on Girl Boss Radio, and she said, I wish that people would actually read the article or do their homework before they are vitriolic about it. A lot of times, they're not even addressing what's on the website, especially because we encourage discussion, and we love the back and forth, and we love different points of view. Now, this writer said that she was promptly blocked by the brand when she asked Paltrow about peddling pseudoscience. But then I read that you were asked, and of course, I said, I'm a big fan, and you regularly debunk Goop's unfounded medical claims on your blog, Wielding the Lasso of Truth. And that you had this to say to Gizmodo when asked for a statement about Paltrow's homework comment. That's effing bullshit, and you can quote me on that.
Yes.
I would imagine that.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, so the it was a really interesting exchange. So the journalist covered for, she's moved on to a different publication, great journalist, I can't think of her name, but which I feel really bad about, but she covers science and actually a lot of space stuff. And so she was the one who wrote about the Body Vibe stickers that were on Goop,
yes.
You know, that are NASA technology that aren't NASA technology. And so she actually was blocked by Goop for asking about that, which is, I mean, really, you encourage conversation. But yeah, so I did say that. To say that I don't read her stuff is it means that she actually hasn't read mine. Because, you know, there are direct quotes that are lifted. I've read through it multiple times. There's many things that are posted on Goop that I pass over because it doesn't reach to the egregious enough level to sort of, you know, make a comment on. But I read everything, and the thing that bothers me greatly about that kind of comment is that, you know, sometimes I'll read 20 articles to source something correctly because, you know, everybody here who does medicine knows that often there's some type of cherry-picked fact that got distorted and misinterpreted. And so I'm fascinated with finding out what that original sort of fork in the road was. Where did that original nugget come from that then was distorted to become this information? So, you know, I'll spend 2 or 3 days sometimes researching a post. I mean, not on jade eggs because I know all that because that's what I do every day. I know the science of the vagina.
Right.
But some of the other things that are maybe a little bit not quite in my area. So yeah, I mean, to say that I don't read it would literally mean that she has not read a thing that I write. And also, you know, they've claimed that I'm, you know, using them to leverage my celebrity. And of course, it's pretty funny because I don't sell anything at all. I'm giving information away for free. But, you know, I'm not leveraging anything. I'm just trying to get information out there. And if they'd read my post, they'd know that, you know, I write about Goop actually a pretty small percentage of the time. So if you looked at, you know, I write a lot about vaccines, I write about reproductive health care, I write about so many other things. So it is absolutely effing bullshit.
And she quoted it here. Great. Thanks for losing my iTunes rating. We do have some people from Bad Science Watch here. And it's a Canadian version that sort of seeks out pseudoscience and sets the record straight with what is true and factual.
Great.
So you had a question?
Hi. Yeah, I guess that includes me. I'm Ryan from Bad Science Watch.
Hello.
Hello. Firstly, thanks so much for doing what you're doing. It's been very interesting to follow. I particularly enjoyed your interaction with Dr. Lechtin. I can't remember his name. So kind of an off-topic question. I was wondering if you were worried about legal repercussions in publishing your blogs, and if so, Did you do anything to prepare towards that end?
I mean, I just write the truth. I think that ultimately, you know, writing the truth is your defense. I mean, it's if you can support what you say, and I really try not to attack people. I try to attack ideas that are incorrect. So in California, you're, you know, really widely protected by what you say online. So there's, you know, there's obviously different laws in different countries. And I think that sadly, if I were, for example, in the United Kingdom, I would be approaching it very differently. I mean, they have incredibly bizarre libel lawsuits up there. So over there, so it's a different situation. So no, I mean, I think that the truth is a defense, but I really try to focus on the issue and not the person. And so, you know, I've never really kind of attacked a person. I've really always just attacked an idea, I think.
All right. Thanks so much.
And did we have anybody else want to ask a question here? Or does one of the lawyers here want to speak about the law? No, no comment, no comment. Yeah, and it's Canadian law right. versus U.S.
Yeah.
law. And it's different, right? And it's a much different system. And like you said, in the U.K., I think it was one of the skeptics over there got into quite a bit of trouble there for quite some time.
Yeah, Simon Singh, they actually won. And it turned out being, you know, eventually a really good settlement in their favor. But I always think, you know, there are people on television, doctors who are talking about magic beans and using these kinds of supplements. And I think, boy, how is that legally okay, right?
He who must not, name must not be
the
spoken.
The wizard.
Yes.
Yeah, the wizard.
Yeah. I'm just not saying the name.
So I just think that, boy, like you, it's, people sell so many products that have absolutely no basis in any kind of, you know, research or safety or anything, and they're out there selling it, and people are using it, and they're having problems, and we all see these patients that suffer these kinds of complications. So I think that that's why it's important for all of us to speak up and just see the truth when it's there.
Well, I think that's pretty much it. I've only got two things left.
Okay.
One thing is there anything else you want to say or comment on before I pass you The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine tagline to read.
Right. Oh, okay. I don't have my reading glasses. Oh my gosh. That's like really intense. I'll be like squinting. So what do I want to say? I think that it's really important for every single person to try to debunk no matter what they do in their walks of life. And what I've found through writing a lot online for 7 years is that people can really only take small chunks of information. I mean, I'm the same as everybody else. I'll read an article and I'll be like, oh my God, I'm on the third paragraph. Can't you just get to the point? I mean, we're all like that. We all go for headlines. And so we have to go where people are. And so I would say that try to take one myth every day and try to correct people who say it. And so the one I would say to take today is the flu vaccine does not cause the flu. And, you know, because there's still 30% of people believe that it does. It's not biologically possible. And, you know, you can't give people 10 facts. You have to just stick with one. And so that would be the one thing that I ask everybody to spread as a piece of information. Because when we talk to somebody one-on-one, it makes a bigger difference. And I would say that every single person should use their individual privilege as a friend, as a parent, as a sister, as a physician, as a lawyer, as whatever you do, and use your privilege to try to pass on one piece of factual information.
Well, the reason I think, and my impression is, the reason I think that you're so good at connecting to people is that you speak so honestly, so truthfully, with such raw emotion, because I remember reading that blog post that you had about your triplets, and you know, it brought a tear to my eye, and it's like you were speaking directly to me. And so you have a unique ability, despite the fact that people are thousands and thousands of kilometers away, to connect with them on an emotional level to make sure they get that information. I think that's a real gift.
Oh, well, I think people really, I mean, I'm just the way I am. I mean, there's a lot of people here who follow me on Twitter and we haven't met before. And I think that if you matched up how I'm acting to my Twitter feed, you'd be like, yeah, that's exactly the same person.
It's very
like,
authentic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, but I don't have any time to be anybody else. That'd be too much work. So yeah, I just think that people, there's so much fakeness around, and people are, the way people act in a lot of different ways. And maybe it's because, you know, we have this Instagram culture where everybody's trying to, you know, have the perfect meals out or different things. And I don't know, I'm trying to figure it out myself, but I'm just trying to be me. And because I just don't have time to be anybody else.
Well, I think you is doing pretty good.
Thanks.
So if you don't have your glasses.
Oh my gosh.
It's the red.
Oh God. Okay. I'm not sure my arms are long enough, but I mean, that's my, I'm so vain. I have 3 different glasses. Isn't that terrible? I'm always bitching at ophthalmologists online. Like, can you not fix progressive lenses so people can actually use them? Okay. Apparently that's the number one complaint of ophthalmologists is like people struggling with, I'm like, do you have a class I can go to? Is there like an app? Okay. Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you've heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Yay, we got through it. Well, thanks, everybody. That was our very first SGEM Live. I couldn't think of a better way to start it with a party and a Wonder Woman and an amazing doctor. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.